Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph, and we're holding the third line, the second line from the top. Amr Bchanina, Shachtzis Gedoyle Hoyse Bebnei Kehanim Gedoylem. What is this referring to? We go back to the Mishnah of yesterday. You recall in the Mishnah we said on Yud Amud Beis, third line from the top of the Amud, that Kevesh Para and Kevesh Sira Mishtaleach, etc., are Boim Mishiori HaLishka. So every year you always had funds left over in the Lishka that were not used in the Trumas HaLishka. So what did you do with those funds? So many of them were used for the communal needs, such as Chomo Seir Umigdaloi Seha. But also they used it for Kevesh Para. Kevesh Para means that if that year they were making a Para Aduma, then they made a special ramp or a special bridge from the Beis HaMikdash all the way to Har HaZeisim. And the purpose of that bridge, as we said yesterday, was so that everything should be done totally B'Tahara. Why wouldn't it be done B'Tahara? Because without that ramp, as the Kohanim were escorting the Pora Aduma to the Har Mishcha, to Har HaZeisim, what could be is that people would be walking over a Tumas HaTohayim, an unknown caver, and those people can then become Tameh. So we especially had this ramp where there was a Chalal, there was a space between the ramp and between the ground down below, and that Chalal had at least a Tefach, and so therefore any Tumah that there was there would be taken up by the Tefach and would not go and pierce through the bridge above, and the people on top of the bridge would remain Tohar, and this is a wonderful thing, said everything should be done B'Tahar. Fine. Who paid for it? Shiori HaLishka. However, our Gemara tells us another view, that it was not paid by the Shiori HaLishka, but it was paid by the Kahanim Gedoylem themselves from their own funds. As we've learned elsewhere, the halacha is the gabi kohen gadol that you're supposed to gadleu mishel echov. That's why it's called the kohen gadol. And gadleu mishel echov is not only that you give him this senior position as the kohen gadol, but you go and enrich him so that he does not need to come on to the funds of anybody else. He himself will be a wealthy individual. So Reb Chanina says shachtzis gadol lehoisa. The word shachtzis is a negative term. The Takan Charetin says that means gasus, which means the Kahanim Gedoylem, because of their, if you will, arrogance, or maybe because they were pompous, they would go and build a new ramp each time there was a new Para Aduma to be brought that year. So says Rav Chanina, Shachtzis Gedoylem Hoysim B'nei Kahanim Gedoylem, Sheyoyser Mishishim Kikri Zohav Hoyimoytzien Ba. They would go and build a new ramp, and this new ramp was so expensive that they would pay 60 kikrei zohav, a huge fortune. Shehoye kivsha shel para oimed, lo ya echad mehen moitzi parasai bekivsha shel chaveroi. What it's saying is, how do I know this was a shachtzis gedoyle, that they did this out of pompousness or out of arrogance? Because even if there was a kivsh shel para oimed, there was already a previous kevesh that was built by the prior kohen gadol in connection with a prior para aduma. No new kohen gadol would use the old kevesh of the previous kohen gadol. Ella soisroi, what he would do is he would go and dismantle, demolish the old kevesh. Uboina oisim ishaloin, he would build a brand new one. Some of you know that the Tappan Zee bridge was recently demolished and dismantled, and now they have a new bridge in its stead. They did the same thing regarding this kevesh with a para. Every time they brought a brand new para aduma, they would go and destroy the old kevesh and erect a brand new one. What's the shachtzis? The shachtzis is that the reason why the Kohen Gadol did this is so that people should be impressed, and they shouldn't say, oh, we did a paraduma, but they should say, we did a paraduma of Remoisha Kohen Gadol, or we did it for Rabbi Yankel Kohen Gadol. So everybody should be impressed about this new Paraduma, this new Kevesh with a new name, and it really gave them a lot of publicity, etc. I see that Barry has a question.
In all of Jewish history, I think there have only been seven instances where we offer the Paraduma. One with Moshe, and two with, I think, Shimon HaTzadik. It's so infrequent. Why is this? I mean, did they build it whether or not they had a Paraduma? If they didn't have a Paraduma, they didn't build it, right? What's the arrogance?
The Lashon of the Gemara sounds like that every single Kohen Gadol had a new Paraduma, and they were constantly demolishing the old and building new. And Barry's pointing out there were only seven altogether. Another Gemara said there were nine. I'm sorry?
No, it's not so. I mean, in all Jewish history, seven, eight, nine, whatever it was fewer than a dozen.
Yes. Barry, I agree with you. So Barry's asking, the sense of the Gemara, it sounds like that almost every year we had a brand new Kevesh, a brand new Paraduma, and this was going on year after year, and the bridge construction people were busy 24 hours a day for 400 years throughout the time of the Beis Hamikdash. But that is not accurate, because we only had seven or nine Paradumas altogether. So therefore, what the Gemara means to say is that each Kohen Gadol who had the pleasure and the privilege of having a Parah Aduma being processed during his lifetime and during his reign as Kohen Gadol, that Kohen Gadol did not suffice with the old Kevesh that had been constructed a year ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago by a prior Kohen Gadol, but rather he would go and build a brand new Kevesh for himself for the Parah Aduma that he was bringing. So the Gemara says that this was a sign of gaiva, if you will, of being arrogant, because there was nothing wrong with the previous Kevesh. It's not as if it was infirm. It's not as if it was used on a daily basis. After all, it's a ramp is a ramp is a ramp. They could have just left the old one. Why did they have to build a new one? So it's only because of shachtzis. However, Esiv Reb Ula Kumi Remana Vatani Shimon HaTzadik Shtei Pores Asa V'loi Bekevesh Hoitzi Yezu. Shimon HaTzadik was one of those few Kehanim Gedoilim that in fact processed a Paraduma, and he processed two during his lifetime. Shimon HaTzadik, I believe, was Kohen Gadol for 40 years, if I'm not mistaken, and during that period he had two Pores Adumais, and each time he himself built a new one. In other words, when he got to his second Paraduma, he destroyed the first one. Can you say about Shimon HaTzadik that he had gaiva? The reason why he got the title Shimon HaTzadik, because he was a tzadik. And that being the case, it's impossible to say that that would be the reason that he would throw out all of these funds just to be able to go and act in a pompous manner and tell everybody, see, I made a new Shimon HaTzadik bridge for purposes of Paraduma. So why taka did Shimon HaTzadik build a new one each time? There seems to be some background noise. Kindly mute your systems if possible. Anyway, Zokti Gemara, the reason is because Malihi Bipara. Now, our Gemara doesn't go into the Malihi Bipara, but we have this, for instance, in the Gemara beginning of Yuman, Daf Beis, and Daf Gimel, talks about the Malihi Bipara, and that is that the Chachma Yisrael made various Chumris Bipara Aduma to counteract any negative publicity as a result of a famous Kula that they made Bipara Aduma. What was the Kula? There was a machloikis between Chazal and between the Tzedukim or Baisusim, where one rare occasion, the Tzedukim or Baisusim darshan the pasuk in the Torah that the Kohanim that were dealing with the Parah Aduma had to make sure that they were purely Tohoir, and even a Tvil Yoim would have been disqualified to be work with the Parah Aduma. However, Chazal darshaned otherwise, the Purushim, our Chachamim, said no, a Tvul Yoim is mutter b'Parah Aduma. Now, how did they hit this point across? They wanted to emphasize that they're right and the Baisusim, even though they're being machmir, are wrong. They specially took Kohanim and they were metamei them on the day of the processing and burning of the Porah Aduma. They were metamei them, for instance, with a sheretz. And after that, they had that koyin go to the mikveh. So now he's a full-fledged tvul yoyim, waiting to be tohar that night. And they said to him, okay, you koyin, you should go and take the Porah Aduma and process it and bring it to the Har Mishka, etc. People heard about that and they said, wow, that means that the Chacham came up with all types of kulais. Can you imagine, we specially go and take a koyin and we're metame him and we make him into tvul yoyim. So there was a big chash that people are going to say, they're going to poo-poo the whole inyan of the Kedushin Tahar of the Porah Aduma. And therefore the Chacham made many, many special chumrois, which are not dealt with in our sugya. You have that in Masechtas Porah, that for instance, they had families that would move to particular neighborhoods, where the neighborhoods were built on stone rock, on boulders, so that either there are no Tumas Atahoyim, because there couldn't have been any caver or any mess underneath these large boulders, and or if there was, that under the boulder there was an ear pocket so that any tumah would be locked in and wouldn't be poured slamala, and people would actually live in these neighborhoods so that the kinderlach that were born in these neighborhoods, they could afterwards, when they get older, they could work with the Porah Aduma and many other chumras of this type. So what the Gemara is telling us over here is, even though it was not necessary to make a new kevesh, but they specially did it, mali b'pora, to go and advertise, Rabbosai, no, pora is being made with all chumras possible. I'm even building a new kevesh to show you that we are doing it with all chumras. Don't take a negative lesson from the fact that we allow a tful yoyim to go and do the Porah Aduma. Siltzel Hiba Porah says, Tach Mechadatin, it's a kovod. It's a kovod for the Porah Aduma to go and do it with all of these chumras. Zokti Moratani, Zizin uksolim hoyu yoytzim mikan mikan, kidesh lo yeitzu viyotzitzu hakehana viyitmu. The ramp wasn't just simply a platform, but it had walls on both sides, to the right and to the left. And they were quite high, so high that the Kehanim could not look down from the sides. Now, what's so important about Kehanim looking down from the sides? So there are three pshatim over here. The Parshat pshat is that the Kehanim that were taking the Porah Aduma on this bridge from the Beis HaMikdash to the Har HaMishcha, if you would have low-lying walls to the right or to the left, the Kehanim might see something interesting, and therefore they might go and bend over their heads over the side of the ramp, or their hands over the side of the ramp, and they'd be pointing to the other Kehanim on the bridge and say, hey, take a look over there. Oh, look, that's so pretty. What a nice scene. What a nice house. What a nice this. What a nice tree. Whatever. And there would be, in modern day terms, there would be a lot of rubbernecking, that everybody's stretching their neck to see what's going on. Guess what happens? If they're going to go and stretch their neck or their hand or their head over the side of this ramp, then they might become tamei as a result of the fact that there is nothing choitzitz b'fnei atumah. There might be kibbutz tohoim down below. The whole point of this ramp was to create this vacuum underneath and to act as a chatzitza from the tumah. Now there's nothing that's going to be choitzitz. The tumah is just going to go spreading up and it's going to hit that koyin in the head or in his arm that is sticking out. That's why they had to go and have these tall walls. That's the Porsche pshat. The Korban Eda, however, says a different pshat, that it's the other way around. It's not that the Kehanim that are on the ramp, but it's Kehanim down below. They're going to go and see their brothers and their cousins, the other Kehanim, that are busy with the Porah Aduma, and they're going to say, oh, look, they're doing the Porah Aduma today. Schnell, let's go and join the procession. And they will run up the ramp, run up the bridge to go and join the other Kehanim. And they unfortunately might have been Tumeim. They might have been Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Nevela. They may not have been careful. They didn't expect to do the Porah Aduma. So by accident, those Kehanim from down below are going to see the Porah Aduma up above. They're going to go and join the procession and perhaps cause some of the Kehanim to become Tumei, etc. Final pshat is the Taklin Chadatin says that we're concerned that the Kehanim that are walking on this ramp may see something below that they should not see, an inyan of Chas V'Shalom Pritzus, and that might cause them to become, have Hirhurei Avera, which Cholida could lead them to become a Balikarian, to become a Balkarian. Therefore, we're afraid of that tumor, so that the Kehanim should be totally in a vacuum, totally in a tunnel, not to see anything that they shouldn't see. That's why he had these tall walls on both sides, so they couldn't possibly come the day Hirhurei Avera. Anyway, but bottom line is, that's the reason why they had the tall walls on both sides of the bridge. Zokti Gemara Vaitim. We had in the Mishnah Machloket between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What did you do with certain moisar? If you look back at the Mishnah, about 8-9 lines from the top, Shiori Lishka, extra coins that were left in the Lishka, Mahoyo Oisen Ben, what did they do with them? I mean, eventually they could use them for communal needs, but at least temporarily, should they just sit there? Said Rabbi Shmuel, you know what? Loichin behen yenish manimus losseis, vaschar lehegdish tibber Rabbi Shmuel, the Beis Hamikdash, the Gizborim, can go into business. They can take the Shiori Lishka, buy yenish manimus losseis at the wholesale rate, go and sell it to people that are coming for kabbonis at the retail rate, make some money, and that extra money is going to be lehegdish. A wonderful idea. Rabbi Kiva says, no, ein mistakir mishal hegdish. And the same thing applies mishal aniyim. What's the reason why you shouldn't be mistakir? So the Takna Charet and the other Mefarshim said, the reason is because just like prices can go up, prices can go down, and you might find that the Gizborim are going to lose money, because they went and invested the Shiori Lishka in Yenish Manimus Lasseis, they paid whatever the rate was. And guess what? That year, Baruch Hashem, there was such a bounty, then Yenish Manimus Lasseis, you can go and get half price, clearance sales. And nobody was coming to the Beis Hamikdash to go and buy the Yenish Manimus Lasseis. They bought it outside the Hamikdash. Of course, they made sure that it was with the proper Hashkochis, that it was Altaris HaKodesh. No problem. And they brought it to the Beis Hamikdash. You don't have to go and get your Yenish Manimus Lasseis from the Gizborim. You can bring your own, just as long as we know that it's reliable and kosher and you can use your own. And therefore, they're going to be stuck with the Yenish Manimus Lasseis and no purchasers. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva said, no. Don't take any risks, no business risks. The best thing is just leave the money there, and whenever you need it for your communal needs, then you'll use it at that time. So getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Gemara, Rabbi Kiva said, "Ein mistakrin." Says Yimara Elim Ratza. If you dafka want to go into business, you can do it in a way where you are insured not to lose any money. How can you be insured? Yehefset shaloi vaschar lehegdish. Ah, what you go and do is that you make sure that there is no hefset on the part of the Beis Hamikdash, and the schar will be tehegdish. So what does that mean? You go, for instance, to a supplier, and you say to the supplier, I want you to go and give me I have here the Mois Halishka, and hire a businessman, if you will, to go and be in charge of the sale. This applies not only to the Beis Hamikdash, this also applies, let's say, to the Aniyim, as we'll see in a moment. Yesoimim, whoever is going to be busy with the investment and the sales of the Yenois, Slosois, and Shmanim, Yenim Shmanim, and Slosois, he has to take upon himself that if there's any loss, he will pocket that loss, or he will incur the loss. If there'll be any Schar Lehegdish, then we're going to go and split it halfway. The Gizborim, that is the Beis Hamikdash, will make half, and the same thing will apply to this person that's doing the sales, he'll make half. You can have this in the form of a regular deal. You have a financier says, I'm willing to finance this brand new business, but I don't want to take any risks. The risk that I'm willing to take is, I'm not willing to take any risk that if the prices go down and the investment goes sour, I don't want to have to incur any loss. However, if it's profitable, I want to be able to go and share, let's say 50-50 in the profits. So in Masechtas Bava Metzia, the Gemara deals with those types of business arrangements. And the Gemara says that this is a hidden form of ribis, because since the financier is not willing to incur any loss, all he's willing to do is split the profits, What it means is that at the end of the year, if he gave, for instance, $100 to finance a new grocery store, and the grocery store has to give him back his $100 come heaven or high water, regardless whether they made money or not, so his principal is guaranteed. If they actually make profits, then he gets half of the profits. Therefore, he might get 2%, 5%, 10% on his capital investment. So that's called pure ribis, and the Gemara says it's a hidden form of ribis, and it's awesome. However, the Beis HaMikdash was allowed to engage in that, because the Beis HaMikdash is not a Jew, it's the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they could, in fact, have this type of arrangement. The Gemara says, Kado bar Zimna, or bar Zmina, bar Zmina is the name of a person, Ispakid Gabei, he had a Pikodoin, someone left with him a trust account, of Medel Diasman, of money of Yesoimim. And this money of Yesoimim was there, and the Yesoimim would eat from it every day, and Bar Zmina thought to himself, you know, after 6 months, after a year, there's not going to be any money left. If I could invest this money and get some interest, some dividends, some something or other, then that would be great. Also, v'shol Reb Mana, omalei in bo'iz di ha'hafsada di doch, the agad travaychon shori. Yes, you could do the following deal. You, Bar Zmina, you're apparently a good businessman. You could go and take the money. Let's say it was in this trust account, $10,000. Take the $10,000 and guarantee the trust that you're going to give all the money back. That if there's any loss, this trust is going to have the $10,000. And presumably put up collateral or a guarantee. So there was no question that the trust account would be replenished. So make sure that if there's any hefsid, if you invested in the stock market, Lamushul, and the stocks go down, you're the only one that's going to incur the loss. You're going to put back $10,000 in this trust account. Va'agra, and if the stocks go up, then travaychon, then you can go and split the profits. If it went up from echvais $10,000 to $11,000, so it profits of $1,000, you take $500, and the trust account for the assignment will take $500. Then, if you do that, that's shori, that's permissible. And in fact, the Gemara tells us, Reb Chiya bar Ada is paket gabei madel diyasmin. He had the same situation where they gave him, he became the trustee, the guardian of a trust on behalf of Yisoyimim. The Ovid came, and that's what Itaka did. That when he invested the funds, he took upon himself the possible loss in total. If it went down in price, he would lose it. However, if it went up, they were able to go and split it 50-50. So the Beis HaMikdash could do that type of arrangement where we know for a fact that the Beis HaMikdash won't lose a penny, so we don't have the concern of Rabbi Akiva that maybe it's going to go down in price. It's only going to go up because the Yad Beis HaMikdash will be Alu El Yoina in all situations. It will always be a protected principle, and hopefully they will be able to share in any profits. Then the next case in the Mishnah was about Moiser Peiros. If you look back at the Mishnah for a short moment, we had a machloikis lagabe, the usage of various items. So, if you go to about 6-7 lines before the end of the Mishnah, the beginning of the line is Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Moiser HaPeiros. What do you do with extra peiros left over? It goes like Hayetz HaMizbeach. What do you do with Moiser Truma? That goes like Klisharis. Now, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Hanani Skana Kahanan use these things for different needs. Rabbi Kiva Oimer Moiser Truma, Kaitzim Mizbeach, Moiser Nesachim, Liklisharis. Notice Rabbi Kiva doesn't talk about Moiser HaPeiros. He talks about Moiser Truma and Moiser Nesachim. Same thing as Rabbi Hanani Skana Kahanan Oimer, Moiser Nesachim, Kaitzim Mizbeach, Moiser Truma, Liklisharis. Neither of them talk about Moiser Peiros like Rabbi Shmuel. You know why? Says the Mishka, Zevezeloyim Moidim Peiros. They didn't agree to Rabbi Shmuel to the din of Moiser HaPeiros. So now what does that mean they didn't agree to Moiser HaPeiros? So we're going to have a machlaikis. Zokti Mora Masnisin to Rabbi Shmuel. Our Mishnah where it says, Rabbi Shmuel says, I use the Moiser HaPeiros. Rabbi Shmuel's going Lishitosai. To Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Poser Masnisa, Moiser Peiros, Schar Lihedish, Moiser Nesachim, Zu So'or Revias. What does the Gemara mean to say? Moiser Peiros is Schar Lihedish. These moiser peiros that we're talking about, we're not talking about peiros in the classic sense, that they were leftover fruits, apples, oranges, grapes, dates. Moiser peiros means the income generated by the Beis HaMikdash using the funds from the extra shiori halishka to go and purchase yenos shmanim uslosois vaschar lehegdish. That was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says, no, ain't mistaken b'shal hegdish. Don't make any business with the hegdish money because you could have a total loss or a partial loss, as we learned a moment ago. That same Rabbi Shmuel that allowed for this type of business, that the peiros. The peiros means the income generated by the sales of the yenish manus losses. So what do I do with those, that income that comes in from the sales? Says Rabbi Shmuel, Moisa peiros. That goes the kayit semizbech. However, Rabbi Kiva, Lishitase, who holds, don't invest hegdish monies in business. Like Rabbi Kiva said, ein mistakim shel hegdish. He holds that way, and Rabbi Hanan Yiskana Kahanim also holds that way. And therefore, Zevazelahoyim made him a peiros, because they said that this is a non-existent item. There is no moise peiros, because you're not allowed to go and try to do business with the Shior Elishka by investing in the Slosos and Shmanim like we had in the Mishnah. So that's the first pshat. What is this Nesochim business? Do Sa'oravias. What exactly is a Sa'oravias? And Mi'at Hashem, we're going to discuss this in another minute or two. Rabbi Yochanan Pasa Masnisa, Rabbi Yochanan, however, disagreed with this pshat. The pshat that we just gave was Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef pshat. He said pshat, what means peiros, the income generated by these sales. Rabbi Yochanan Pasa Masnisa, Moise peiros zu Sa'oravias. This is referring to the fourth Sa'ah. We're going to explain this shortly. Moise Nesachim is lebirutzim. Birutzim means when you have the over-the-top extra. For instance, if you're filling up your Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos, as you keep on filling up the kos, and it's now over the rim, that's the birutzim midos. Yes, you're supposed to fill it even more until it spills over. But we're referring specifically to that item, that liquid or that solid which is over the rim. That's called birutzim. So Moisim Sachas birutzim, we're going to discuss what that means in a moment. Anyway, bottom line is Jokti Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan says Moise Peiros is So'arevias. So when Rabbi Shmuel said Moise Peiros, that's a So'arevias. Moise Nesachim is birutzim. Frank Gemara Velesle, the Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is birutzim. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is the one that said that the Moise Nesachim, that is the So'arevias. Doesn't he agree that there is also a din of birutzin? That's the over-the-rim overage. Rabbi Chizkiya Avad, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef agrees. Mad nofal so'arevias nofal birutzin. Although Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says that Moise Nesachim means so'arevias, Rabbi Yochanan says Moise Nesachim means birutzin, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef also agrees that Moise Nesachim can be interpreted two ways, so'arevias as well as birutzim, either way. Why does he choose to talk about so'arevias? Because he holds that that is more substantial in terms of money value, monetary value, than just the birutzim. What are we talking about? It's Oktimar, Aldaita Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Nicha. Couldn't Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef pshat that Moise Peiros means that investment income from investing in the Shmanim and Tzlosos? Nicha, then I understand beautifully pshat in our Mishnah. Ein mistak b'shal hegdish, af loy b'shal aniyim, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Hananya Skana Kehanim, they both hold that you're not allowed to mistak in hegdish monies or aniyim monies. Afich zeb zeh lo yemoyim b'peiros. They say that the concept of Moise Peiros doesn't even exist. Why doesn't it exist? Because you're not allowed to go and invest any monies in a business for the Beis HaMikdash or even for Aniyim. So this whole thing doesn't even, that's why it says at the end of the Mishnah, Zeb is the Limoidim of Peiros. However, Al Dat Rabbi Yochanan Kasha, like Rabbi Yochanan is the Chabazeh Shver. Why like Rabbi Yochanan Shver? Because Rabbi Yochanan said that when Rabbi Shmuel said Moise Peiros, it means Zu Sa'a Revias. Don't Rabbi Akiva And Reb Chananya Skana Kahanim also agree that there is this concept of Sa'or Revias. Vatanina, we learned in the Mishnah. Omdu Migimel Yesapik Midalit. What does that mean, Omdu Migimel Yesapik Midalit? That's the taich in the Sa'or Revias that we're talking about. The Beis HaMikdash, again, Yodam Alu Helyoinim. So when they negotiated a supply agreement, a supply contract, they did it in such a way that the Beis HaMikdash would never lose out. So, for instance, if they said, we're going to go and buy from a supplier of wheat, wheat was obviously necessary to make a Karban Mincha, or when they were buying soles, whatever they were buying, they made sure to go and stipulate in the contract that heads, I win, tails, you lose. Meaning, let's assume that the given price at that time was four so'ah for a dollar, and eventually the price fluctuated. What happened? If the price, for instance, went down to three for a dollar, so you can no longer get four for a dollar, you can only get three so'ah for a dollar, the supplier had to continue supplying the Beis HaMikdash with four for a dollar, even though everybody else out there had to go and only receive three for a dollar. The Beis HaMikdash received four for a dollar. And what happens if the prices went down and now you can go and get five or six for a dollar? Then the Beis HaMikdash would get five or six for a dollar. So regardless whether the price went up or the price went down, the Yad HaHegdish was Al HaLyoina. They always got the cheapest price. Okay, so let's talk about a situation where, in fact, everybody else out there was paying three for a dollar. The Beis HaMikdash was getting its supply four for a dollar. So now it had revach, it had income, profit, of that extra saw where everybody else couldn't get that. They only got three for a dollar. The Beis HaMikdash got four. So what did the Beis HaMikdash do with that extra saw? They sold it. Now this was not considered to be investing in the Slosos and Shemanim. In other words, even Rabbi Kiva agreed, and even Rabbi Chananya Skana Kahanim agreed that this is permissible, because we're not starting a new business. It's just based on the fact that now we have the excess as a result of this supply contract, so they could sell that excess to customers and make money on it. And what did they do with that extra money? That's what the Mishnah is referring to when it talks about the Moisar. So Zokti Gemara, if you're going to say according to Rabbi Yochanan, that according to Rabbi Yishmael, Moise Peiros means So'ar Revias, so then why do both Reb Akiva and Reb Chananya Skana Kahanim say Zu v'zu loy hoyim moidim, zeh v'zeh loyim moidim bepeiros? They both are moidim bepeiros. Everybody agrees that Omdu Migimli Yesapik Midala, that there is this prophet called the So'ar Revias. Why does it say in the Mishnah they did disagree with Peiros? So according to Rabbi Bar Yosef, that interpreted Moidim Peiros, it means the profits from this new business called the Shmanim business. Okay, that's a good shot. Rabbi Shmuel holds Moise Peiros. They, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chananya Skana Kahanim, hold that there is no such business. You're not allowed to be engaged in such business. So that's why it says Moidim Peiros. But if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yochanan learned, that Rabbi Shmuel, when he's talking about Moise Peiros, he means the Sa'or Revias, everybody agreed that they were allowed to keep the Sa'or Revias and therefore profit from the Sa'or Revias. And if that's the case, why do that says Lo Yemoidim Bepeiros? Everything more Lo Yemoidim Bepeiros Bekaitzlam is Beach of Moidim Hoyu Bekli Shores. What do they mean? Let's go back to the Mishnah again. What did Rabbi Shmuel say you do with the Moise Peiros? It says in the Mishnah, Moise Peiros goes Lekayitzam is Beach. We know what Kayitzam is Beach means, that it goes in those special pushkis, which say on them Nidova, which were used whenever the Beis HaMikdash had an off day and they wanted to fill up the Mizbeach with Karbonis. They were taken from those pushkis from the Kayitzam Mizbeach, and therefore the Mizbeach was not empty. Now there were other Karbonis from these. So that's what the Moise Peiros was for. Says the Mishnah, that's Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Chananya Skana Kahanim lo yemoidim bepeiros. They did not agree that the peiros should be used for kaitz and mizbeach. Rather, it should be used for something else. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying when it says in the Mishnah, "Boise peiros zu so revias." That's what Rabbi Shmuel held, that it goes l'kaitza mizbeach. However, the other two, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Hananya, Sgana Kehanim, they said, yes, Avada is something known as Sor Revias, but it doesn't go l'kaitza mizbeach. Rather, use it for purposes of klisharis. Okay, so now we had our two pshatim and moiser peiros, and now we go to the inyan of birutzim. And remember, we spoke about birutzim means the overage over the top of the kli. What do you do with those birutzim? Oh, so once again, we had the Mishnah, and we had the pshat that Rabbi Yochanan was giving in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah, and therefore we said that the moiser nesachim was the birutzim, or the moiser nesachim was for the sorvias. But according to Maniyama, that holds moiser nesachim is birutzim. So what do you do with the moiser nesachim? So that we had in the Mishnah again, the moiser nesachim according to Rabbi Kiva was the klisharis. According to Rabbi Chananya, moiser nesachim was kaitzam is beach. Okay, so zokti marietz ad kedoin birutzi tzibur. Do we say vafilu birutzi yochid? The Vilna Goyin in the Aleph, in fact, adds a mandiyomer, and he says, "Boy, Reb Chir Bar Bo, ad kedoyin berutzei tzibur." I understand berutzei tzibur. Do you say the same thing applies to berutzei yachid? Now, what means berutzei tzibur and berutzei yachid? Again, we're talking about the supply contract, and here we have that the Beis Hamikdash arranged with a supplier of soilus that every time they supply soilus, they have to go and give it for whatever price. And the supplier would go and fill up a container, and the supply contract said it's got to be a kli godush, meaning don't just give me to the rim, it's got to be above the rim. And presumably this was reflected in the negotiated price. But bottom line is that the suppliers had to go and give more than the kli shoris would hold. It would have to go overflow on top. Oh, so that overflow that the Beis Hamikdash had, when the Beis Hamikdash was bringing a carbon tzibur, when would the Kahanim be bringing a carbon tzibur of a mincha? Every time they brought a minchas nesachim. That minchas nesachim was a kli shoris that held in it the mincha. Then they would go and be mochek. Mochek means you didn't have the godish sticking on top, but you would go and level it off. Ah, so the suppliers gave more. The extra birutzim on top was an extra 10%, 20%, whatever it was. Depending, of course, if it's a solid or a liquid, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. So that overage, that wasn't used for the carbon. So what did they do? They spilled it out into another container, and then they could use that for other kabbonis, and therefore they had that profit. That was the perutzen that we're talking about. So those extra perutzen could be used for kaitzim, mizbeach, or klisharis, depending on the mandiyomer. Says Gemara, ad kedoyin perutzei tzibur. Do you say the same thing applies to afilu perutzei yochid? And the Gemara says, yeah, I assume, yeah. Now, what means Berutzei Yachid? Berutzei Yachid means what happens if you have a private individual who's coming into the Beis Hamikdash to go and bring his carbon, and he brings with him soles to be used for a carbon mincha or for minchas nesachim. So he would pour out from his container into the klisharis of the Beis Hamikdash, and to be on the safe side, he brought extra, and that extra went over the rim in the klisharis. Then the Kahanim said, well, that overage we don't need. They would skim it off. They would not return it to the owner, but the Beis Hamikdash would keep it. And that Berutzei Yachid was also used for purposes of Kaitzim Mizbeach or Klisharis, whatever you hold that the Berutzim is. Aha. Freit Marvel Nimtzu Klisharis, Boin Mishal Yachid. If you're going to use these Berutzim to go and buy Kli Sharisin, it means the Kli Sharis is going to come now from the Berutzei Yachid, which means from Yachid funds. Is that permissible? Don't we say that all the Kabbonis Tzibur and the Kli Sharis all have to come from public communal funds and not from a private donation? Like we learned yesterday in the Gemara, Isha She'asasa Ksoinis Libna. What happens if you have the mother of a kohen who wants to weave a fancy ksoinis for her son? Ksheira, that's okay. Don't you have to go and buy all of the big day kahuna from communal funds? She can't go and give it directly to her son. She can go to the gizbarim and say, here, I'm donating this ksoinis and I'm giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. And please, I would like this to be given to my son to be able to wear. So this is permissible. So you can be moises something to the tzibur. It's the same thing over here. By the birutz yachid, we tell the yachid, we want you to know the birutzim are going to go for the tzibur for the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, no problem. We're going to buy klisharis. No, no problem. But you're not going to be the, it's not going to be on the klisharis a plaque saying that you, Mr. Smith, donated it. It comes from the public funds. You're going to give it public funds. That's fine. So therefore, that's permissible. So you want to add kedoyim birutzi lach, but fill birutzi yavesh. Till now we were talking about birutzi lach. So the same thing applied to birutzi yavesh as well. Now the question is, why should I think it's only birutzi lach and not birutzi yavesh? Birutzim are birutzim. Anything over the rim is birutzim. What difference does it make? So the two interesting svaras which are given in Masechtas Menachos, which the Taklin Charetin gives. The first one is that as you fill lemoshel, you're filling your kus with wine on Matzah Shabbos for Havdalah. And you keep on pouring and pouring and pouring. The new wine that is now at the top, over the rim, which will eventually spill out, that wine, at least part of that wine, was within the cup. Because when you pour, as you're pouring, wine that was already down below rises, and the new wine goes down, because not all of the wine, but some of the wine that will now go over the rim at the top was originally inside the klisharis. And that's why it has kedusha, and that's why you can go and use it now for klisharis. Masha enkein, if you're talking about kli yavesh, meaning that you're berutze yavesh, what happens if you're pouring out solus, flour, into a kli, and you pour and pour and pour? The yovesh flour will stay down below. It's not going to shift to up above. The new flour that's going to come into the klisharis is going to be over the rim and never went into the klisharis. That part that is over the rim, it's all added to the existing yovesh down below, and this is new flour up above. So since it never got into the klisharis, it doesn't have a kedushas klisharis. That's one svara why we should distinguish between the kli lach and the berutzi lach and the berutzi yavesh. Another svara is, as we're going to see in another moment, there was a machloikis what the meshicha of the various kelim were. And as we're going to see, the midas halach was definitely nimshach mi bifnim. A machloikis where there was also nimshach mi bachutz. Nimshach means when they anointed it with the shemen hamishcha. That they only be moishach from the inside or also from the outside. But that was the gabi, the berutze, that was the gabi, the kli lach. The kli yavish, however, they were not moishachit, bein mi mefnim, bein mi bachutz, and therefore there was no particular kedusha to the berutzim sticking out. So the question is, can those also be used to go and buy kli sharisim? Is zhokt yetzte, or at least be used for kayetz hamizbeach? Depending on what you hold. Says the Gemara, yes, yes, birutzi lach includes birutzi yavish, and the birutzi includes both. Like we learned there in the Mishnah. And now we have to go and see there's a base in the brackets. We have to change the gears and go to the Hagoyis Hagra, and that's here on the left-hand margin. You see where it says base? Mikan, from this point, it's the third line of the Hagoyis Hagra. Mikan ad, until Hey Lamed Gimel. Hey Lamed Gimel means Halacha Gimel, that's the next Mishnah. Nimchak, all of that is deleted. Bekach Tzorach Loim, the Tinin HaKaman we learned. Tinin Taman. Berutze Lach, Koidish, Berutze Yavish Chulin. The Berutze Lach, those, the overage over the rim of Lach is Koidish, the Yavish is Chulin. Why? V'lome Berutze Lach Koidish. So now we're going to give the second reason that we quoted before. Neshemidis Halach, Nimshach Mi Befnim. And all of the wine that went inside was inside and now is spilling over outside. All of that wine benefited from the bifnim, which was kodesh, it was nimshach. They didn't have any mashiach at all. In fact, how did they get their kedusha? So the Taklin Charetin says, bepeh. It wasn't as a result of the midah. Each time they put it into the kli, Yavesh, who are Mekadosh and Bepen, say this should now be Kadosh, because the Keli itself, the Klisharis itself, didn't have Kedusha, it was a Kli Yavesh. So Kol Brutzim Midah, so all of that is fascinating. But the key is now the remaining words. Kol Brutzim Midah Salah. Kol means both the Midah Sayyavesh and the Midah Salah, or both Alach and the Yavesh, both of them. Emesh zevach acher yakrivi moy. If you have those birutzim, the overage, we level it off. What do I need those birutzim for? So if somebody else needs a carbon, either the base mikdash or a private individual, you can use those birutzim for another zevach. The imlonu, what happens if they didn't use it and it stayed overnight? If so, belina, it's going to be pasul belina. The imlav, and if you didn't find another customer, and it was not nifsabalina, yimachr lekayitz mizbeach, you can go and use it for kayitz mizbeach purposes. Ah, so you see that you can use birutzei midos, sai birutzei lach, and sai birutzei yovesh for kayitz mizbeach. So therefore we've been poishet our shayla, when the Gemara asked whether birutzei lach, when birutzin includes both birutzei lach and birutzei yovesh, the answer is yes. You can use both, because the price ends off. Kol birutzei midas alalu, both the lach and the yovesh. If you don't use it for another carbon, you can use it lekayitz hamizbeach. Okay, go on to the next Mishnah. Aloha gimel zok to Mishnah. Moisa haktoiris mal oisim ba. What did they do with a moisa haktoiris? The moisa haktoiris means haktoiris that was left over every year. How much haktoiris was left over every year? So, for those of you that say the Pita Maktoidis every day, especially those Nusach Sfar that say it twice, once in Karbonis and once in the Enkel Akenu right before Aleinu, Tana Rabbanan Pita Maktoidis Ketzad, how did they manufacture the mixture of the Ketoidis? Shloish Meois Veshishim Ushmoina Monim Hoiva. They had altogether 368 portions per year. Shloish Meois Veshishim Vachamisha Kaminin Moise Chama. 365, because of 365 days in the solar year. Mona l'chol yoyim. U'shloi shemonim yaseinim. And then we had three more. Shemehem machtas koyim godom lechofnov b'yoyim ha'kipurim. He would go and put his hands in, into three monim. And of those three monim, the koyim godol, the hands typically filled approximately a half a monim. Of course, it depended on whether the koyim godol had large hands or smaller hands. But a half a monim, typically, that was the average amount. So at the end of the year, you always had 11 extra monim, constituting the difference between 365 solar days and 354 lunar days. You had 11. Of course, not in a leap year, but in a regular year, you had 11. In addition to that, you had another 2.5, and that 2.5 was because in the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur only used a half, and the other 2.5 was left over. So I have now 13.5 such monim left over at the end of the year. Now the question is, look, Timar Maya Oisimba, what did they do with them? So you're going to say, well, use them in the next year. And the answer is you cannot use in the next year. Just like by Karbonis, you have to be machadish and use it from the new Madbeis, the new Machzeh Shekel. You can't use old Schoira. Same thing applies to the Ktoiris. Now, we don't want to just to hang around. What are you going to do with this? We want to be machalel to Moisak Ktoiris. To Maya Oisimba, how they machalit. So they did a fairly elaborate procedure to be mechalit, and the reason why they engaged this elaborate procedure is so that people should realize this is real serious business. Don't think you can just snap your fingers and be poda the moisak toiris. No, no, no. You have to do it in a very, if you will, convoluted, complicated way. So says the Mishnah, mafrishim imenes scharu umnin. First, you go and take the moisak toiris and figure out how much it's worth. Let's assume that this Moisak Toiris, the market value is $100. And I have umnin that we're working that also deserve to be paid $100. Now, these umnin could be umnin that we're working with the Toiris, and we'll see on the Amud Beis, the Kahanim from the Beis Garmu, that we're very familiar with the Toiris and how to do it. Could be those umnin. And others learn umnin means other types of umnis that were done in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. You recall we had in the Mishnah that, and in the Braisa, that we paid, for instance, the people that were the Kotzrin and the Shoimim of the Svichin. We spoke about the people that were Magiim of the Sefer Ezra, the Sefer Azora, the Talmid Chacham that taught the Kohanim, the Hilchas Shechita, Hilchas Kabbalah, Hilchas Rika. So the Umna doesn't necessarily have to mean Dafka, those working with Ketoiris. It could mean other Umnin as well. Anyway, so those Umnin sent us a bill. We owe them $100. We took out the Moisek Torah. The Moisek Torah was worth $100. What do? We don't give the $100 yet to the Umnin. We take out $100 from the Truma Salishka money, which we're ready to give to the Umnin, but we don't give it to the Umnin. But rather we take the Moisak Toiris, which is imbued with the Kedusha of the carbon of the Ktoiris, and we are going to be Mechalel, the money of the Ktoiris, on those Truma Halishka funds of $100 that we wanted to pay the Umnin. Before we continue, just as an aside, the Gemara is going to ask, how can you possibly do that? The reason why you're trying to be Mechala, the Moisak Torah, is to get the Kedusha off the Moisak Torah. You're going to go and switch it, and you're going to put it on the Moisa Umnin. The Moisa Umnin itself is money which has Kedusha from the Trumas Halishka. And therefore, the Mishnah continues with Mechal and Oisa al Moisa Umnin. We're going to be Mechal, the Moisak Torah, onto the Moisa Umnin. Put your finger here. Skip to the Gemara three lines down. Flin him to Hegdish, Mechal al Hegdish. How can you Mechal one Hegdish on top of another Hegdish? You can be Mechal Hegdish on Chulin, but not Hegdish on Hegdish. So wait for that, Kasha, when we get it to the Gemara. In the meantime, we've taken the Kedusha and the Moisak Torah, transferred it to the Trumas Halishka funds, which had been set aside to pay the Umnin. As a result, the Moisak Torah now is Choyl. Take that Moisak Torah, which is Choyl, v'noisen oisali Umnin bischaron. Since this Moisak Torah, we said, is worth 100, and since these Umnin are deserving to get paid 100, you give them Moiser HaKtoiris as their wage. Now you're going to tell me, these Umnin don't need Moiser HaKtoiris. You're right, they don't. Now take from the brand new monies. Until now we were talking about the old monies. The old monies meaning the old Moiser HaKtoiris from the previous year that we're trying to go and be Mechalel. We took Schar Umnin from the previous year, Truma Yishana, and now we're being Mechal one on the other. But as far as the Moisak Torah, which we were Mechalel, we're going to repurchase it with brand new coins from the Truma Chadasha, and now I'm going to use the Moisak Torah from last year for this year. But I couldn't just switch it from last year to this year. I first had to be Mechalel it, and then I had to go and be makdish it once again by purchasing it now from our Umnin. So the Umnin are going to be left with choil money because we're going to buy the Moisek Torah in their possession with the new Truma Chadasha. The Kedusha of the Truma Chadasha is now going to be imbued in and transferred to the Moisek Torah. And now the Umnin will go and get their money from the new Truma. Zot vayt to the Mishnah. In other words, it's the end of the year. It's now Chav Zayin Adar. We are expecting that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's going to be plenty of Mabeis from the new Truma Chadasha, so we'll be able to buy back the Moisak Torah. Says the Gemara, if the new coins come in on time on Rosh Chodesh, we'll buy back the Moisek Torah with the new money. V'imlav, what happens if there was a big traffic jam because there was Chas V'Shalom a collision or major construction and the Mois never reached the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So what are we going to do now? Says the Mishnah, the Minah Yishana, buy it back from the old coins. Didn't we say that you always have to bring from the new coins? That's lechatchila. But if you don't have new coins, what should you do? You buy it back to Mechadosha. It's not ma'akev b'diavet. Fine.
I have a quick question. So, why is it that we have to take 368 mano, and therefore we have leftover? Why don't we just take the amount that we need so we won't have these issues? Of three, so we'll take 354 plus 2.5 for the coin, for Yom Kippur. Why are we always taking this 368 number?
It's a very good question. This Gemara, its origins are in Masechtas Krisus, and it's also discussed in Masechtas Yuma. Yuma, you can expect it to be discussed because in connection with Yom Kippur. Why they ordered and they received 368, I don't know. I don't know, maybe it's based on a pasuk, maybe it's based on some other reason, derabanan, but those are the facts. As the reason behind it, we'll have to wait until we get the real sugya
the Karbanos one who say Shlosh Meot Shishim V'Chamesh connected to Moshe Hashanah. Maybe there was specifically a reason to use it, they wanted to use it, as we read every morning, they wanted to use it for that purpose. They had it. There was some Kabbalistic reason, possibly.
Maybe a Kabbalistic reason, maybe a Dindrabonan, maybe there's a Drosha Diaraisa, Chavesnish.
Because it specifically states 365 when we read in the morning. The
for sure. In fact, it says 368. Peter Matodis Ketzach, Shloish Meis Vashishim Ushmoina Moid Mahayuva. 365 Kemini Moisachama, and three extras for Yom Kippur. Anyway, getting back.
The better question is, if you anticipate that you will be a Shnat Yibur coming up, you're going to need more than 368.
You have a very, very good point. So, if the Shnat Yibur, then we're going to use, since we're constantly using the Moisach Torah in the new year, and each year we're producing another 368. By the time Shnas Iber comes along, we will have the accumulated extra 11 days, plus the 2.5 that we have every year, so that it always evens out over time. So you don't have to worry about...
How frequently is the Motar Torah sold? Every 3 years or every year?
Every single year, at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. They didn't want to have this Moisach Torah sticking around doing nothing. What they did was they were poda it or mechalal it, and then they were able to use it immediately into the new year when they again produced another 368. So at the end of every year, we'd always have extra and extra and extra. As far as the extra 11 days, those always evened out over the period of 19 years, because we have 7 Ibn Yur in 19 years. However, the 2.5 kept on accumulating. What did they do with the 2.5? So that was also dealt with in the Karbanos. Tanya bar Kapora Omer, Achas l'shishim or l'shivim shana, hoisivo shel shirayim l'chatzoin. Every 60 or 70 years. If you take, for instance, 70 and multiply it by 2.5, 70 times 2 gets you to roughly 140. 70 times a half is 35. So you're going to have 175. How much do you need for a whole year? 365 or 368. This is 175. So it says in Bar Kapara, hoisivo shel shirayim l'chatzoin. The amount of Shirayim now ended up like half of the amount that you're going to need within the 70-year period. It's approximate. Lachatzayin, more or less, between 60 and 70. Why is it more or less? Because it depends. Some Kehanim had bigger hands, some had smaller hands. So some years they had 2.5, some years 2.4, some years 2.6. So after 60 or 70 years, you had the total accumulation added up to half of the annual needs of that year. So what do you do? Did they cut down that year and only produce half? Our Gemara doesn't go into it. Mechem Masechtas Krisus, we'll learn more about that. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now. Frank the Gemara, you said that we took the Moisach Torah and we mechal it on the Schar Umnin that was taken out from the Truma, from the Lishka money. I don't have a big problem over here. The Lishka money was Kodesh. The Moisach Torah was Kodesh. How can you mechal Kodesh on Kodesh? What should we do? So says the Gemara, we have to add yet another step in this chilul process. Omer Pshim Bar Bisna, maybe Mois umechalon al Havinyan. Don't go and be mechal the Moisach Torah directly on Trumas Lishka money, but take the first the Trumas Lishka money, the $100 that we spoke about, and first be mechal those. How mechal it al habinyan? You remember we learned yesterday that when they were building the Beis Hamikdash, then each time they put in the stones or the bricks, initially those stones and bricks were chol. Only afterwards were they makdish them. The reason why they made sure to go and build them b'chol is because we were concerned that the workers, as they're building the building, might get tired, or they might want to take a coffee break, and they might sit on those row of stones. After all, rows of stones, and usually the walls in the good old days were much wider than our walls today, so they had a nice seat, they were to sit down, and maybe it was a sunny day, they were able to go and relax a little bit. So the point is, we didn't want them, Chas V'Shalom, to be over on Me'ila, And that's why they left it to be Makdish at the last moment. So as we keep on building this building, and it gets higher and higher, at the point that it's no longer Roy from Me'ilah, now we take Mois of Hegdish of Trumas Halishka and Machalit Al HaBinyan. And therefore now we have those funds, which are now Chulin funds, and we take the Mois HaKtoiris, and we're Machal the Mois HaKtoiris on the Chulin funds. So now we're okay, because now we're taking Hegdish Kedusha of the Mois HaKtoiris and transferring that Kedusha to the Mois, and the Mois were previously Kodesh, they were Trumas Halishka money, but we had already been Machal them on the Binyan. You can go and cut through and just go and take the Ketoidus and Machal it on the Binyan. Anyway, that's Taka of the Gemaras and the Mephoshim talking about that. If you see the Takan Charetzin over here, it's quite long from the top of the Yomah to the bottom. They deal with these types of issues. Why can't you do it this way? Why can't you do it that way? But what our Gemara says is, take Trumas Halishka funds, go and be mechal them on the binyan, and now take the moise haktoiris, top of the yomer, the mevik toiris, mechal aleyan, and now be mechal the moise haktoiris onto those funds. The noise and oisel the umnin mischar, like we learned in the Mishnah, and now give the moise haktoiris to the umnin, and buy them back with the truma chadasha. So now this moise haktoiris, which became chol, is no longer the original kedusha of the old kedusha from the Taklin, the Shkolim from last year. They are now Chol, buy them back with the Shkolim of this year, and now you'll be able to use them for this year. Frank Timara, Oysen and Mois Mayasmen, what do you do with the Mois? What does he mean, the Mois? The Mois upon which you transferred the Kedusha from the Moisak Toitis onto the monies. Those monies you left to the side. What happens with those monies that have that Kedusha on it? Rabbi Oyma Oymani Yinostu Lebeis Garmu Lebeis Avtinas Shehoyu Bekiyin Bepit Maktoidus Ramas Alechem upon him. In other Gemaras, it tells us that the Beis Garmu, that was a special family that were experts in producing the Pit Maktoidus, and the Beis Avtinas were experts when it came to Mas Alechem upon him. What was the great expertise? So the Beis Garmu people knew a special spice called the Mala Oshan, that caused the ocean to go directly overhead whenever they were makta victorious, so they didn't scatter to the right and to the left, it went straight up. So they had that secret. The Beis Avtinas had a secret of how you manufacture the lechem upon him in such a way that it shouldn't crash and that it shouldn't spoil. Bearing in mind that lechem upon him wasn't just your normal matzah or challah or whatever, but it had to be made in a very, very special shape. And l'choira, and you have to make sure that you put it on top of the maroch, on the shulchan. You don't want there to be pressure on it, that it should break and it should fall in. I'm sure many of you experienced when you opened your boxes of shmura matzah that some of the matzahs were broken. Why? Because they're thin, and you know, as a result of the packing and the handling. So the same thing can happen to lechem panim, it could have broken. No, the base of tinas knew secret recipes and processing and manufacturing, and it should always remain perfect. The Gemara Masechtas, I believe Megillah, says that initially the Chachmi Yisrael were upset because the Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinas were not willing to go and share these secrets with anyone else. They had a monopoly. And the Chum were upset. Why aren't you willing to go and share this valuable information? But later on, after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, they were very, very happy that this remained a secret so that the Goyim shouldn't be able to go and mimic our Ktoiris and our lechem upon him and say, aha, you see, now we have it. No, because this remained a secret with these two mishpachas and it was never revealed, so we don't know it. Anyway, so they used to go and get their funding as well from the Trumas Halishka. So we would go give them now these mois, and we would pay them with these mois that had on them the kedusha of the mois haktoiris. And the obvious question is, how can you go and pay them with these funds, since these funds are hegdish? So don't we have the same problem that the Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinas people are going to be moil in that hegdish? And the Mefarshim add, and again this is based on other Gemaras, that they would first go and transfer the Kedusha to a behema, any behema that was going to be used for a carbon. So now that behema now is imbued with the Kedusha that you had from the monies that originally had the Mois HaKtoiris on it, and now the monies now become free, they become a chulo, and you give it to the Beis Garmu and the Beis Avtinas. Omer b'shmul barav Yitzchak, v'hein shiyu chayovan lehen mois misho'o rishoyna. It's dafke if we owe them money for past services in the past year. Why is this so important? Because remember, the Kedusha that was imbued in the money was from the Moisak Toiris from last year. That's why we want to free up the Moisak Toiris to be able to go make it Chulin, to be able to use it for this year. So it had last year's Kedusha. If we're paying off the Beis Karmon, Beis Aftinis, for their payroll expense for last year, then we can use last year's monies to go and pay them. However, what happens if, in fact, they've already been paid for last year? What am I going to do now with the Moisak Toiris? What am I going to transfer the Kedusha to? What are we going to do? Rebchia bar boi, loy hoyu chayovan lehem mois misho rishoyna. What happens if they would not do any money from the last year? They'll only do money from the new year. So what am I going to do with these mois that were imbued and impressed with the Kedusha from the Moisak Toiris of last year? Aser Rebbe Bo b'shem Rebchia. Now notice who asked this question. Rebchia bar Bo asked the question. Aser Rebbe Bo b'shem Rebchia b'shem Reb Yosi. We're assuming that this b'shem Rebchia is Rebchia bar Bo, and maybe it shouldn't say Rebbe Bo b'shem Rebchia. Maybe it should say Aser Rebchia bar Bo. I'm only saying this because you'll see how important this is going to be in another moment. He came up with the answer, Mekaitzen benes ha-mizbeach. Oh, you're going to go and use it for kaitzen mizbeach, like we've had with all shiori lishka, now the Moisak Toiris. We're going to use it for kaitzen mizbeach for those off days in the Beis HaMikdash. So now Rabbi Bo bar koyin boi kumi Rabbi Yosa, mechalfe shitzei to Rabbi Chia bar Bo. I don't understand what's going on. Rabbi Chia bar Bo was the one who asked the question, what happens if you don't have old salary needs from last year? What are you going to do with the Moisak Toiris? So you know who gave the answer? He himself, that same Rabbi Chia bar Bo, says you're going to use it for kaitz and mizbeach. So he said, Machal v'shitzeh. It's so strange. Rabbi Chia bar Bo, tamon tzrichaleh. Initially, he asked the question, what am I going to do with these Moisak Toiris Kedusha funds in the money? V'koi pshitaleh, and now he says, oh, I know what we're going to do with it. We're going to use it for kaitz and mizbeach. So what was the shail originally? When he asked this question, his question was, can we use those monies, which I cannot use to pay the Beis Garmon, Beis Aftinas, because these are old monies from last year. And the Beis Garmi and Beis Aftinas didn't have any salary outstanding from last year. So what am I going to do with it? Can I use it for purchase of Kli Sharis? That was his question. That he answered, he says, I can use it for Kaislam is Bayach. So you're going to tell me, no, what's the Shailu, what's the answer? Why did he need to have this whole discussion? I mean, what was the Shailu originally of Rabbi Chia bar Bo, whether he can use it for Kli Sharis? Says more dispalgan, because he's a machloikis legabe the Ktoiris. When it was manufactured, did you manufacture it in a Kli Sharis, or can you manufacture it in a Kli Chol? Everybody, of course, agrees that before your makrav the Ktoiris on the Mizbeach, you transport it in a Kli Sharis. So by that time, it certainly had a Kedushas Kli Sharis. The question is, from the inception, when you processed and manufactured the Ktoiris, did you have to do it in a Kli Sharis, or can you do it even in a Kli Chol? And the Gemara says, this palgan, this is a machlokes. Pitma bechulin, the word pitma is from the word pita maktoiris, that you processed and you manufactured the ktoiris. If you did it bechulin in a chol keli, Rabbi Yosi b'yer b'rab chanina omar psula, no good. You have to manufacture it in a Kli Sharis. Rabbi Shuman Levi omar ksher, it's kosher. Aha. Says he more matam than Rabbi Yosi b'yer b'rab chanina. Why did Rabbi Yosi chanina hold you have to dafka use a Kli Sharis? Because it says in the pasuk by the Koidish that Koidishi. And therefore the Gemara is learning he, meaning that from the very beginning of its Havaya, from its beginning of its existence, ab initio, it has to be Bakoidish. As an aside, the Mephoshim point out that there is no such pasuk, Koidish he, in the manufacturing of the Koidish. But instead the Kesem Mishnah says, it's a mistake, not the Kesem Mishnah, the Mishnah of Melech, and it really is referring to another pasuk which says, Kodesh tihiya lecha. Okay, so bottom line, it's the same. It doesn't say kodeshi, it says kodesh tihiya. And again, b'hav yosai b'kodesh. The other mafarshim learn, no, it's a different pasuk because you have exeda shava from Shemen HaMishcha to the Pita Maktoidis. And in the Shemen HaMishcha, there's a pasuk kodesh hu, kodesh yiya lecha. And therefore you learn Ketoidis from Shemen HaMishcha, and therefore the, it's not Kodesh He, it's Kodesh Hu. Okay, but bottom line, have Yosef Kodesh, and therefore, from the inception, it has to be processed by Kedusha and Eklisharis. Ma'atam the Vishuman Levi, Kodesh He should say, Bo Mitrumas Alishka. Kodesh He doesn't mean from the first moment, it just means that when you eventually purchase these ingredients, the ingredients have to be purchased from the Trumas Alishka. But the processing can be made even a Klichol. So Machlokes, what's the definition of this Kodesh He or Kodesh Tia? Aha. So now, before we continue, that was the Shaila Reb Chiya Reb Shem Reb Yosi was asking. What he was asking was, if you tell me that you're processing the Ketoiris in a Kli Chol, so it didn't have any Kedushas Aguf, it just had the Kedushas Peh that you said, I'm going to bring it for Ketoiris on the Mizbeach. But you never brought it for Ketoiris on the Mizbeach because this is Moiser HaKetoiris. If that's the case, if it's choil, perhaps you cannot use that for purposes of being mekayi to purchase kli sharis. Mashenki, the other man yom that says that you have to manufacture the kli sharis, so therefore the moisek toiris had kedushas kli sharis. Ah, if it had kedushas kli sharis, you can purchase with it, or you can repair or manufacture a kli sharis with toiris that had kedushas kli sharis. Zoizung the Mafarshim, that was the Shaila of Reb Chiya B'Shem Reb Chiya Barba, when he asked whether you can use these monies for a Klisharis. His real question was, is a Moisak Toidis Kedusha, is a Kedusha of Peh, that it was bought with the Trumas Alishka money, but it wasn't Klisharis Kedusha, or was it Kedusha Zaguf, because it was in a Klisharis itself? And therefore you are, if you will, recycling the Kedushas Klishares by buying a new Klishares with that Moiser HaKetoiris fund.
Isn't there a problem with Dichoi?
What do you mean?
I mean, you have something that you have a 21 says you're manufacturing a Klishares. Now you're making a call. Now you're making a Kodesh again. Isn't it Mitzvah?
So you're really not asking a kasha in this Gemara. You're going back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said you had Moisak Toiris, and you're saying we were Mechalit, now it's Nidcha, how can you go and buy it back with new money? That's really your question.
Okay. So, the question is occurring to me now, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, no problem, you're entitled, you can ask a question tomorrow too. But the point, Nidcha is always when there is a psul, like it had a psul temporarily of a mum, for instance, or it got lost, and therefore you couldn't bring it for a cart. And now it comes back on the scene, do you say that that's considered to be Nidcha or not? Here there was no psul. You're a mechalit. That the pidyon and the chilul is totally legitimate, totally halakhically permissible. So it didn't become.
It's like a korban that got a pesach, a korban that's over, a chatas over a year old, of a shnosdel.
Okay, so that's a good question. The follow up question is, forgetting about moisek toiris, what did we do with the animals that were in the lishka satloim right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? As you know, you always had six animals there from which you took out two every day for purposes of the Tamidim. Those animals can no longer be used in the new year. What are you going to do with those new animals? So the same question we asked of Moisak Toiris, you can ask about the Moiser Hatloy. So Gemara is going to deal with that on the bottom of the Amud, and the Gemara is going to say, the Lev Bezdin Masna Aleim, that when they purchased them originally, they said, just in case we're not going to use these animals, or just in case we're not going to use these ketoiris, we should be able to go and be poyed to them, and then reuse them for the next year, we'll recycle them. We'll see that in Yetchim on the bottom of the Amid. Stay tuned. Barry, always good questions, always on point, and just like everybody else, everybody, Baruch Hashem, always asks fine questions. So getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Gemara Mat. Okay, so we had now a machloikis between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Hanina, whether or not you can be mafatim the ketoiris in a kli chol. So the Rabbi Chanina, no. And if you're mafatim, if you process it, you manufacture the chol, it's possible. Rabbi Shimon Levi says that it's kosher. Freit the Gemara, yes. What are the svarot? Not with the svarot. The Gemara is going to say, each one goes l'shitas, another amoira that we find in the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi be Rabbi Bun. asked Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina that insists that the manufacturing has to be in a kli shoris. He holds like Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi that says you can manufacture in a kli chol. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, who's Shmuel? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? So first thing, Mar is going to tell us who Rabbi Yochanan is. The Tanina we learned. Hamaknish lechosavah you ben dvarim ruuyim lekarbonas tzibur. This Mishnah is at the top of the next Omid. We're going to start it off tomorrow morning in Mir Tashem, the new daf. Look at Yud Beis Amid Aleph. Hamaknish nechosav. He had a private individual Jew, a nice person, Mr. Jack Smith. Baruch Hashem, he was a very benevolent type. He was makdish all of his nechosim for the Beis Hamikdash. And among those things that he was makdish were things that were ro'i for karbanas atzibur. And the Gemara asks in Yetshim tomorrow, right after we finish the Mishnah, give me an example of something which is ro'i lekarbanas atzibur. Rabbi Yochanan amak toiris. Rabbi Yochanan says an example would be toiris. So Mr. Jack Smith has been makdish all of his nechosim. That would include his silverware and his farms and whatever he owns, all is in the chasim and includes ketoiris that he is now giving to the Beis Hamikdash. So I ask you, Rabbi Isai, how does a private individual have ketoiris? Is the chasim that you don't have to make ketoiris in a kli sharis? You can make ketoiris in a kli chol because a private individual wouldn't own a kli sharis. Is the charaya says our gemara that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can manufacture in a kli chol, and that's what Rabbi Shimon Levi said, that if you mafat in the ketoiris in a kli chol, it's kosher, like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you have no raya that that's Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, because tiposer, you could say that that Mishnah is talking just like the Mishnah that we just learned on the Amud Aleph. But umman misho beis aftinas, sheinotel bescharei ktoiris, that we're paying off the beis aftinas person by giving him the moisa haktoiris, and we did it in the elaborate way that our Mishnah explained, that you took the Moisak Toiris and you were machalit on money. Now the Moisak Toiris is totally chulin. We handed over this Moisak Toiris as the wages to the umnin. So now they have this Moisak Toiris. What are they going to do with it? So our Mishnah said, the Beis Hamikdash is going to buy it back from the new Machtze Shekel money. Guess what? Before the umnin were able to go and have the Beis Hamikdash buy it back, this Uman himself was Makdish Kol Nechasov, including that Moisak Toiris. So that Moisak Toiris wasn't privately manufactured. This was manufactured by the Beis Hamikdash. How did he get hold of the Moisak Toiris? We paid him his salary with a Moisak Toiris. And we intend in another 10 minutes from now buying it back from him by giving him Trumas Alishka money. He didn't want to wait the 10 minutes. He was Makdish in immediately. Oh, so therefore you have no raya that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can go and manufacture the ketoiris b'chol. The case of the Mishnah, the Yetushem, the Omer Aleph, is talking of perhaps a case of ketoiris that was manufactured with a kli sharis, and he's in possession of it because we used it to go and pay his salary. Okay, what's the makar that Shmuel holds that it has to dafka be manufactured with kli sharis? So this is crystal clear. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Chanina holds like Shmuel, the Omer Afuna, B'shem Shmuel. Machteshes osa oisa kiklishoris la koidish, meaning the machteshes, that's the mortar and pestle that was used to grind and to smash and to crush the various ingredients in the ktoiris, to mix them all together. The machteshes itself, that smasher, that crusher, that itself was a klishoris, so everything was done big kiddush. Amri Yosef Meir Abavin, in other words, in a klishoris. Amri Yosef Meir Abavin, Amr Reb Chuna Kumei Reb Yosi. Davish HaKadosh B'Kli Sharis Nifteh. What he asks is, I don't understand what's going on over here. We know that something that has Kedushas Domim, that you can be poida easily. But something which has Kedushas Haguf, you can't be poida easily. That's why all the Karbanos, once you've said that this animal is an Oyla Achates HaShlomim, or whatever, if it develops a mum, I'm sorry, if you want to go and change your mind, and use this animal for something else, you want to buy a new animal for your shlom mechatas oil, and you want to take this animal back, you can't be poyed an animal that has kedushas aguf. You have to wait yira ad shiestai, we get some mum, and then you can be poyed it. But you can't go and stamp tmimim. So Gemara says, this ketoiris, now that we've concluded, according to Shmuel, that the ketoiris was manufactured in a klisharis, so it has kedushas aguf, How can you go and now be poded or mechal on mois? This is similar to the question that Barry was asking before. Isn't it a situation of nidcha? We don't even get to the point of nidcha. The question is, how can you mechal it? This mois ektoris doesn't have a mum. The concept of mum doesn't apply to ektoris. So then, what are we talking about being mechal or being poided? It defies pidyon. You cannot be mechal. You can't be poided. And that's Reb Chuna Shaila. The kash is only according to Shmuel. Because if Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can go and be mekadoshit, you can manufacture it, bekli chol, so it doesn't have kedusha. The moisak toiris is chol, so that's not an issue. The only kedusha that it would have would be a kedushas peh, but not a kedushas aguf. So therefore, Zokti Gemara, according to Shmuel, that says that even the machteshes was a kli shores, tov shekodesh bekli shores, nivta. Omalei, he says, yes, it's Shmuel nishitosa. Your kash is on Shmuel. This is a special kula that the Gizborim and the Kahanim made in the Beis HaMikdash for any Moiser like Moiser HaKtoiras, that if it's going to be left over at the end of the year, just like if Karbonos are left over at the end of the year, you'll be able to be poided them Tmimim. Where do we find this? This Palga. In fact, there's a Machloikas, there's a Plukta. Hoisiru Tmimim, you have these leftover six Tloim in the Lishkas HaTloim. Tloim means these young Shepselach, which are used every day for the Karban Tamid. What happens now? It's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I gotta buy new Tloim from new monies. What do I do with the old Tloim? Zakti Moray, Sira Tmimim, Shmuel Omen Niftim Tke Tmimim. You know what? Even though the Tmimim, this is Shmuel Shitasai, you can be poyed to them even though they have no mum. You don't have to wait a year until it gets a mum. Take them, go and be poyed to them, be machal them on. Other mois or whatever, and then buy them from new machzis shekel monies. The whole thing is a 5-minute process. You point to them and buy them back. How can you do that? Because kalhu b'moiser, a special kula that they said by the moiser. What is this kula based on? Zugna mafarshim, as we'll see on the last line of the Gemara, lei bezn mas nalein, that when you buy your kabbanis at the outset, you and the base midish, and the same thing when you buy your ktoiris and you manufacture the ktoiris, the implicit in the minds of those that are being makdashit, or in the mind of the klisharis, that only has kedusha if we need it. If we don't need it, we can be poided without any problem. I'm very sorry, no such thing. You have those old tloyim, you got to let those six tloyim go in graze until they get mumim, and then you're going to be pointed to them and take the money and buy new kabbalas. What happens with seir seirim? Until now we spoke about the tloyim that are used for karm tamid. What about the seirim that are used for karm chatas on yomim toivin, on Rish Chodesh, where we say seir chatas echad, or seir izim echad chatas? What about those seirim? You have them left over at the end of the year. Of course, maybe you only were Maktish and Makriv, the number of Seirim that you needed. But what happens if you you were concerned and you had backup Seirim that you were Maktish for Karb Chatos? It's now the end of the year. What are we going to do now? According to Shmuel, that holds that you can go and be poided the Oyla. Even though it's a tumim, you don't have to wait for a mum. Certainly the chatas, you don't have to wait. Now why is the oila kolshkein chatas? So it says the carbon eden, the taklin chadatin, because the oila, after all, if you would allow it to wait, and until it gets a mum, like Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you going to do with that money? You're going to take the money, you're going to go and be poida, the oila that became a bal mum, take the money and use it to go and buy new oilas. So Shmuel says, you don't have to go and wait until you poid it, take the money and buy a new oila, you can be makrav this one bifnei atzmai as an oila. So maduch, you could have waited. And we say you don't have to wait. Go and use it for an oila, kolshkein chatas. If you're going to go wait on the chatas until it gets a mum, you know what's going to happen? The chatas will be transformed into an oila, because we're going to use the money for new oilas, the kayitzem is beach. So kolshkein, that Shmuel would hold, that you don't have to wait until it do a pidyon, but leave it in its present state as a chatas, and be poided to me. Al datu de Rabbi Yochanan, om Reb Zeira, yiru. The same Rabbi Yochanan said a moment ago, by the tmimim of the Tloim for the Karban Tamid, that you have to wait Yirat Shiestayiv, he'll say the same thing by the Seirim, wait until it gets a mum. Amr Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, Mekaitzin Behenesim Mizbeach. No, what you can go and do is, not Yirat Shistavu, but you can go make its venom as Vech, meaning that this Chatzas, Basher Husham, you'll use it for Kayetz HaMizbech. If on Beis Nisan, Gimel Nisan, we have it, a shortage of Kabbonis that day on the Mizbech, take that soil that had originally been the Skadish for a Karban Chatos, and use it now for a Karban Oila without any mum whatsoever, the very same animal. And the Gemara says, Vikasha, I never heard of something. This sounds almost like heresy. Yesh Chatos Shekreva Oila? How is this possible? The Gemara gives two answers. Om Rabbi Yosef, Shan Yehi, Shein Kabbonis Tziba Nikboin Ela B'Shchita. Rabbi Yosef says in the Beis HaMikdash, they were always very careful, that even though they bought animals and they put them in various categories, I intend using this for an oil and this for a chatas l'marshal, but they were not koivea et bepeh and say, him nimuchan amzuman, this animal is a chatas. So even though in the mind, that was their mindset to use it for a chatas, but that was not a final decision. It was an interim mental decision until they said bepeh mole. When did they say bepeh mole? At the time of the Shechita, we asked the Shoichet. The Shoichet says, what are you bringing this carbon for? Oh, I had some extra Se'irim left over from last year. I couldn't use them last year, and I can't use it this year. I'm going to use them now. Okay, I'm going to use it as an oile now. So it was never a full-fledged Chatas. It was only an interim mental Chatas, but not a physical Chatas. Now becomes a physical oile b'shas Shechita when I'm using it, the Kayetz HaMizbech. Om Reb Chiya says, you don't have to come on to that. Even if, in fact, you said b'pemole that this happens to be a chatos, nevertheless, you can use it now for an oila. Tanai Bezdin hu, ala moise shiyakrivu oilais. That was part of the Tanai Bezdin, that any extra kabbalas which are left over for the new year automatically could go and be used for an oila, even though it was previously a carbon chatos, a special din of Lev Bezdin Masnaleh. We concluded the perek. We'll just start. Now concluded the parable, concluded that shtickle. Next mission is a maknish nechosvi and dvorim reuim lekabonis atzim. Any questions, Rabbi Sai? Hearing none, Mitzvah will continue tomorrow at 9:15. I get to shul. Have a lovely moyed. I get nyantim. All the very best to everyone.
Good moyed.
Good moyed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shkoyach.